Welcome back to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports, AM 1550, KDCO, FM 94.1 in Denver. I am Joel Cantalamessa. I want to remind you to check out CBN Pots. It's been the home of the CSU Rams since 1974. Check out their five Front Range locations across from the Flatirons Mall in Broomfield, just west of I-25 on 120th in Westminster, Greenwood Plaza Boulevard off Arapahoe Road in Englewood, C-470 in Broadway and Highlands Ranch, and of course the original 1415 West Elizabeth in Fort Collins. Go to CBN Pots Restaurant, home of the Rams. I am proud to introduce our first guest of the night, who quite possibly happens to be the best quarterback ever to play for CSU. At least he's having one of the best seasons and best careers that we've seen. Garrett Grayson is our guest. Welcome, Garrett.
Thank you guys very much for having me.
First, congratulations on the season you've had, you know, both as a team and, of course, individually. It's been a spectacular run, and you personally have been a big reason for the resurgence of CSU football over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, like you were saying, definitely a fun season. You know, coming from where we started, it was a good way, you know, for my senior year, I guess, to kind of go out with a bang and then finish this thing the right way. I mean, you know, like I said, it's a huge honor just to be a part of the team. And then, you know, I've had great players around me to make my job a lot easier. So, like I said, just to be a part of it all and kind of go out the right way my senior year is something I'll remember, you know, for the rest of my life.
You bring that back from where you started, and you were part of some 3-9 teams under Coach Fairchild, not so much as a team, but just looking at it individually and where your career kind of started with, you know, Pete Thomas, and it appeared that you weren't going to have that starting job. And I remember stories about how you were, you know, really sick about it. You know, you thought that you'd lost the starting job, you didn't eat for days. Explain the journey from that low point personally to where you've become now.
Yeah, it was definitely tough. I mean, I came in my freshman year, obviously wanting, you know, just a chance to kind of fight for the job, to be honest. And, you know, it never really worked out. So, you know, I just kind of took my time and, you know, sat back and helped Pete with anything that I could and tried to learn as much from him as I could, because he had obviously played, you know, a year, almost 2 years more than I had. So he's obviously got some more experience. And anytime you can ask anybody that's actually played some questions, I think they go the long ways. And so, you know, I was always asking him questions, and he was always someone that helped me out. You know, there was never any issues between me and him as people. But obviously, as a competitor, you want to play, and so I was happy towards the end of my freshman year to get a shot. And we didn't end up winning any of the games, but I feel like we came out and kind of competed and gave up some of those games. You know, gave up some of those teams, I guess, you know, run for their money. And then so it kind of gave us some confidence going into that next year. And then the next year went out and beat up on CU, and I went out and broke my collarbone. I think it was the fifth game of the year, and that was probably one of the lowest parts, I guess, of my career, because in any sport growing up, basketball, track, baseball, anything, I'd never missed any games, any time. And so to have, you know, the first time you ever miss any time in any sport be in your college, you know, what you're doing in college, it makes it tough. And so that was something, you know, I probably didn't deal with the right way, I guess, when I was going through it. And I learned from that. You know, I had to gain the respect back of my teammates and Coach Mack. And I think that's all kind of why it's helped me to be who I am today.
Coach Mack, you know, obviously we'll talk a little bit about that, but he came in and really gave the program a kick in the butt. How did that happen? And it really happened quickly, quicker than most people would have thought. What did he bring and the staff bring that helped turn things around so quickly?
You know, I think the biggest thing for him when he first came in is he realized that our football team kind of had little groups of guys. We weren't really a family. We had little, you know, cliques here and there, and that was something that everybody noticed. I just don't think they wanted to admit it, and that was something he noticed right away when he got here. And he, you know, he demanded that we change it. We wanted, you know, he said if we wanted to be successful in anything we do, it doesn't have to be football, but just in life, you need to be a family and respect one another and have trust for one another. And that was something that he changed right when he got here. And I think, you know, that translated to the field, because when we began to trust one another and know that one, each person was going to do their job, and in order for us to be successful, that's what needs to happen. You know, right off the top of my head, that's something that comes to mind when you think about that.
Garrett Grayson, star quarterback for Colorado State, is our guest. Last week was an extremely bizarre week, to say the least. You know, I was watching it, as I'm sure most Ram fans were, waiting for tweets from you, waiting for any tweet from the team to find out what bits of information we could glean from the situation. And nobody knew anything. We just knew that the Florida administrators were holed up in Coach Mack's house. And, you know, it seemed like it was a done deal, but you must have been sitting on pins and needles trying to figure out what exactly exactly was going to happen. Ultimately, he leaves. It was pretty impressive how there really weren't, there wasn't, and you see this happen all the time across the country. When a coach leaves, there's a little bit of backlash. None of the players really came out and said anything negative about the situation. I think everyone's pretty understanding. What, you know, what was going through your head during that whole thing, and what do you think about the team in general? Did they kind of share the same mentality that you did during that whole process?
Yeah, I think we all were obviously sitting around kind of like you guys, not really knowing, you know, what to expect, what was going on. Obviously, we were reading the same stuff, and so, like I said, none of us really knew what was really going on behind closed doors. We all, you know, kind of expected, but none of us really knew for sure. And so once it all kind of came out, we were happy for him. You know, it's, every coach has a dream, and, you know, they want to coach at the highest level. And I think, you know, the University of Florida is about as high as you can get. It's up there, you know, in those top five programs, I think, across the country that every coach would love to coach at. And so hopefully, you know, he can go down there and get that thing turned around. And if he, you know, does anything like he did here, I'm sure it'll get turned around quickly. You know, like I said, and like you noticed with everybody on Twitter and everything, there's no hard feelings. We all, you know, we all understand that every man has a dream, and he wanted to go down there and live it out, and be a part, you know, of a Power Five conference and have a chance to win a national championship year in and year out. And, you know, we got to respect him for that.
What's the team's mentality going into this bowl game without him? Is it have a different feel? Does it feel like Coach Baldwin is kind of the substitute teacher, or it, you know, and obviously you play for Coach Baldwin, you interact with him on a daily basis, your offensive coordinator, but he's not the head coach that you've had for the last 3 years. What's the mentality going in with sort of a new leader without Coach Mack?
You know, I think everybody realizes that we need to thank Coach Mack for everything he did for us. He obviously took this program from being 3-9 over and over to 10-2 season this year. And at the end of the day, we got to thank him for that. But, you know, also, I think people have to realize that it was coaches put us in positions to win. But at the end of the day, the players have to make plays to win. And something each player needs to go out and have confidence in themselves. You know, it's not the coach out there making plays for us. It's us ourselves making those plays. And that's something all of us need to kind of realize, I think, and realize that just because, you know, Coach Mack is gone doesn't mean, you know, we're automatically going to go out there and lose the game. And I think we're all, you know, a mature enough group to kind of realize that. And, you know, having Coach Baldwin as the interim, you know, it's good for all of us, I think, because he's had head coaching experience. He's got that under his belt. And so I think that all kind of gives us some confidence that he knows what he's doing. And, you know, he's still going to be calling the plays for us, so nothing will really change. It's like we were talking, I was talking with Keelan Cartwright last night. Really, the only thing that's going to be different is, you know, our pregame speech, you know, the person that it's coming from. And, you know, at the end of the day, our defense and offense are still going to be the same. We'll get out there and we'll hopefully keep this thing rolling.
I want to ask you this, and you're not going to be here next year, obviously, but what are your opinions on what CSU should do as they go look for a new coach? You know, from a player standpoint, there's a lot to be said for continuity, but the administration will do its due diligence and go out and see, you know, they're obviously going to give Coach Baldwin high consideration, but they're also going to do a national search. Where do you think that they should go from a player standpoint?
You know, I honestly hope that they hire from within. Keep just saying, you know, I think that would be the best for everyone. Obviously, these coaches have been here the whole time that Coach Mack was here, so they kind of know how we practice, you know, what they know what we expect out of them. I think that would be, you know, best to kind of keep this thing rolling and, you know, keep some continuity between everybody. And I think it would be more fun for, you know, guys like me also that are coming back. You know, you'll be able to know the coaches that are here and kind of show your support for them and, you know, be down on the field. And, you know, I was thinking about that. I was actually talking with Dad about with Keevon last night as well, is we'll be able to come back and see some signals on the sidelines and, you know what kind of plays they're running, things like that. And I think that would make it fun for guys like us to be able to come back and see that kind of stuff. And but, you know, it's for players that will still be here, I think that would be the best for all of them, especially, you know, guys like Keevon have 1 year left, and Richard, you know, they're not going to have to learn a whole new system. And, you know, guys like Trent and KP, defensively, they won't have to either. So I think that would mean a lot for all of them if they keep this thing rolling, keep it from higher from within, and that way we can keep moving forward.
CSU quarterback Garrett Grayson is our guest. It's been a couple weeks since the Air Force game, so it may have worn off a little bit, but seeing you on the sidelines as the seconds wind down and Air Force was lining up for that game-winning kick, you looked pretty distraught, your head in your hands. And what stung you the most about that loss?
I think what hurt the most of me was I didn't necessarily had my best game. I don't think, you know, I played awful, but I missed on some key throws, I think, that kind of hurt us and, didn't keep us on the field. That was kind of our plan, is we need to stay on the field as an offense, because we knew their offense, you know, run the ball like they do, they can grind out the clock, and that limits your possessions as an offense. So I think that kind of hurt. And then even though we battled back, we gave ourselves a chance to win. I think as a whole, offensive and defensively, that first half, I don't think any of us were happy with how we played. And me and DeHart actually talked about that, is, you know, you can escape so many games a year, but eventually if you don't come out to play the whole game, it's going to come back to bite you. And we feel like us coming out that first half like we did, we kind of started a little slow. And, you know, got to give them some credit as well. They came out and punched us in the mouth, and we didn't necessarily, you know, punch them back. And so I think that's something me and Dee were talking about. You can't escape every game, you know, hoping to come back with a fourth quarter drive or something like that. You have to play a full game, and that's something, you know, I don't think we did very well that first half. And, you know, like I said, it was kind of too much to overcome, so.
Is there a hangover at all, or are you looking to redeem yourselves in the bowl game?
No, I think everybody's moved on. Obviously, it hurts because all this, you know, we wanted to end the year being ranked in the top 25 and all that. So it definitely hurts all of us. But at the end of the day, there's only been, you know, one team in CSU history that's gone 11-2, and so that's our goal right now, to be that next team. And, you know, kind of send out this group of seniors the right way, and you know, keep this thing moving forward in the right direction.
We mentioned trying to finish the year ranked in the top 25. There's a chance that you still could. Playing Utah, who is in the top 25 currently, they've got wins on the road at UCLA, Stanford, Michigan, Oregon State. They beat USC at home. They're a very good team. How have they looked on film?
Yeah, no, like you said, they're a very, very good team. Defensively, you know, their front seven is probably, you know, one of the better front sevens that we'll play all year. And then, you know, their D-backs are long and lanky. They kind of, you know, I don't want to compare them to, you know, Richard Sherman or anything, but that's kind of defensive backs that they have, is those tall guys that, you know, have the long arms that can, you know, create problems tipping the ball and anything, tipping them up for interceptions. And so that kind of makes it, you know, harder on a quarterback. You got to be more precise with every throw that you make. So, you know, obviously, we know they have some big wins, as you mentioned. They play on the Pac-12 conference, which is, you know, one of the best, if not the best, conference in all college football. So we know we've got a, you know, tough task in our hands, and hopefully, you know, we can go out there, get a win, and beat up on them, and, you know, hopefully that can propel us, like you said, into the top 25 and finish out the year the right way.
Garrett Grayson's our guest. Garrett, I guess, got time for me. One more question here. How do your weapons stack up against them? I mean, you've had some very lethal weapons on offense, had one of the best offenses in the country, certainly in the conference. Yes, Utah's got a very stout defense. Can you exploit them?
You know, I think we can. I think our coaches, as I said, our coaches have put us in a position to win all year. And, you know, when they call a play, it's up to us whether or not we want to execute it. And, you know, I think for the most part, all year we've done a good job of that. That's why, you know, you've seen the numbers that we've put up. And, you know, it's been a kind of a special feeling to be a part of all that. See all these guys grow, you know, see Rashard grow up, and see D, you know, come out and do what he's done for us. Because obviously he's been a huge asset for us as an offense, and somebody we're obviously very proud to have. And so, you know, with all the weapons that we do have, you know, it's been hard on all defenses to kind of prepare for us, I'm sure. So, you know, hopefully we can make it as hard as possible on them to prepare for us and go out and execute the way we've been executing all year and get a win.
Hey, Garrett, so this is a little bit different of a radio show. I'm a fan. I'm a longtime donor. And so I get to say this, whereas other shows can't. But thank you very much for a great season, a great career. You know, there were a lot of lean years for CSU fans, and you in particular in this group right now have really turned it around and made it really fun to be a fan again. Looking forward to seeing you out in Las Vegas. It's going to be a great game. Good luck to you, my man.
Well, I want to thank you for having me. And, you know, like you said, being a fan, it's huge for all of us to kind of hear you guys saying that kind of stuff about us. So it means a lot. We're obviously glad to get it turned around and headed in the right direction. You know, hopefully we can keep it moving forward. But again, thank you very much for having me, and thank you very much for sticking with us.
You bet. Good luck, Garrett.
Thank you.
We've got to take a quick commercial break, but when we return, former CSU running back Kyle Bell will join us for the Ed Bozar Chevrolet segment. Stay with us. You're listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports.